Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, It is because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
So thank you very much. So they're the verses that we're going to be looking at together this morning. There on your sheet, we're going to work through them. But I want to begin by telling you about one of the latest films on Disney Plus. I don't know if you've got Disney Plus. Here's one that we watched just the other day. It's not the snappiest of titles. It's called The Secret Society of the Second Born Royals. It's basically about a group of teenagers who are second in line to the throne. So they have an older sibling who's most likely to become king or queen. So they think, well, I'm not going to get to sit on the throne, so I may as well just, I'm a bit of a waste of space. But actually, as second-born royals, it turns out they have an important role to play. Because it turns out that as a second-born royal, you have superpowers. Now, one character, she's called Sam, her superpower is a heightened sense of hearing. So during her training, as she's discovering all about this, she has to learn, she stands in front of loads of different speakers, and she has to learn to tune out all the other noises so that she can just hear one voice. Well, what we have going in our passage this morning is that Jesus is training his followers to tune out all those competing noises. There's no actual superpowers involved. What Jesus asks of his followers here in Matthew 16 is what he asks of his followers today. But he's eager to teach them to make sure that they and us tune out competing voices or noises so that we don't get distracted on all those other noises and focus on just one voice, on his voice. So I've got two headings for us this morning, and the first is this: Jesus warns about false teaching. There in verse 5, you'll see on the sheet, there's a problem. It's a practical problem. The disciples have not got any bread. But this also helps to explain the slightly bizarre conversation that follows between Jesus and his disciples. It seems that from verse 6, Jesus is still thinking about his testing by the Pharisees and Sadducees. We looked at that last week. And so he takes the opportunity by way of a metaphor to warn his disciples against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And verse 12 makes it very clear that that's what Jesus meant all along. Now, as we were thinking about last week, it's curious that the Pharisees and the Sadducees should work together against Jesus because they taught different things. The Pharisees said, well, heaven's real, but the way you get there is you have to earn your place. The Sadducees said, well, actually, there's no such thing as heaven. So quite significant differences. But there were other differences as well. It wasn't just what they taught about eternal life. You could sum it up as the difference between glue and scissors. Let me explain what I mean. The Pharisees, they used a lot of glue. That is, they took their Bibles, but then they stuck lots of extra bits on their Bibles, lots of different rules and instructions that people had to keep. So the Pharisees, that's sort of what they did. They used glue. The Sadducees, they were more like a pair of scissors. They cut out the bits they didn't like or the bits that they thought were unbelievable, which includes miracles and the supernatural. So whilst Jesus last week said, look, you guys don't believe in heaven. Pharisees, you're teaching the wrong way to get to heaven. Actually, my death and my resurrection will show the right way. Jesus isn't finished yet. Here he is warning people, not just that what they said was wrong, but they must be careful not to listen to them. But whilst they did different things, they were also united, weren't they, in their dislike for Jesus. They were going around saying Jesus is not who he says he is. He's not God's king. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Christ. But as Jesus makes clear in verse 6, he says, be on your guard. That is, be careful, be watchful for what they are teaching, because both their teachings are like yeast. And as verse 12 makes clear, yeast is a metaphor for wrong teaching and the danger it possesses. Now, as you'll know, yeast is used in baking. It helps bread rise. And if you don't believe me, watch Bake Off this week, because it's bread week. There'll be a lot of yeast. But actually, the yeast Jesus is talking about is like a sourdough starter. That is a fermented dough. It's sort of a living, breathing dough, of which you keep a little bit back 1 week, it grows again, and use a bit more for your next loaf of bread. So when you add this leaven or fermented dough to a new batch, even though you can't see it at work, it spreads throughout the whole loaf. So it's stealthy, it's unseen, it's invisible, and yet its effect on the whole dough is very obvious. It affects all of it and makes it rise. It makes the bread lighter. So leaven or yeast, they do a similar thing. And when it comes to baking a loaf of bread, well, yeast or leaven or sourdough starter, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? But if we left the leaven for too long, if we put our sourdough starter in our dough and just left it for a month or two, it would spoil. It would go off. And if the leaven did spoil, you can't then pick it out because it's gone throughout the whole dough. All of it would have to be thrown away. So you see, Jesus is giving us a health warning in these verses. He likens false teaching, whether it's adding to what God has said or taking it away, scissors or glue. Actually, it's a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing. We don't eat moldy bread, do we? Because we know it's bad for our health. Well, Jesus says false teaching is bad for our spiritual health. It's not harmless, it's harmful. Which means that today, like 2,000 years ago, you and I need to be on our guard against any teaching, particularly religious teaching like here, which, like the Pharisees, adds to what God has said, or like the Sadducees, takes away from what God has said, or like the Pharisees and Sadducees when they team up and say that Jesus is not who he says he is. Now, we might be sat here this morning thinking, well, I'm not going to fall for it like the disciples might. But remember, Jesus uses this metaphor because you can't actually see the yeast at work. And if the disciples needed warning, then surely we do too. Now, we may vary as to what appeals to us more. Some of us will have a tendency to glue extra bits to what God has said or listen to those who have. Others of us would prefer to get out the scissors like the Sadducees and cut bits out of God's word, the bits we don't like or we find uncomfortable. Well, Jesus says that's a dangerous thing to do. We need to be on our guard. We need to watch out. And one very practical way to do that is to be like the Bereans. Now, we read about the Bereans in the book of Acts. They're called Bereans because they live in Berea. But it's how they're described which is so helpful. So let me read Acts 17. They received the message, this is the Bereans, received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So there's two things going on there. They're eagerly listening to teaching. They're listening to the Apostle Paul. But they've also got their Bibles open, examining what he says and checking it against what God has said, what God has already said in the Bibles. Check that Paul isn't adding in stuff that isn't there. Checking that Paul isn't leaving out stuff that actually is. Being like the Bereans will help us be on our guard. Jesus warns against false teaching. But there's a second thing going on in these verses as well, with regards to the disciples, Jesus' followers, and who they think Jesus is. It's an identity issue. But they're not like the Pharisees and Sadducees who had that, remember, they had that stubborn refusal last week to accept who Jesus was. Despite all the signs, they could read the weather, but they couldn't understand what Jesus was doing, proved that he was God. But what we have here is a sort of worked example of when we forget who Jesus is. What I mean is when we forget how brilliant he is, how awesome he is, how wonderful he is, well, that can really impact our thinking and our behavior. So second point, the disciples fail to remember who Jesus really is. See, in verse 7, they're discussing themselves, saying, is it because we didn't bring any bread? They're missing the point. It seems a bit bizarre, doesn't it? How can they get things so wrong? How can they think Jesus is talking about actual bread? Well, I don't think what they're doing is denying who Jesus is. They've just been distracted by their current situation. They're not rejecting Jesus as the Christ here. They're not rejecting him as God's king. I think, to be honest, that they're not thinking about Jesus at all, really. They're just thinking about what are they going to have for lunch. So whereas Jesus gives them this warning about the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees because he's concerned about their spiritual well-being, the disciples are thinking about their physical well-being. They're preoccupied with their immediate circumstances. Bread, we have no bread. Jesus is warning us to not buy bread from the Pharisees. I didn't even know the Pharisees could make bread. See, their crisis of no bread is what has consumed them in the here and now. They're concerned with what they do not have, and so they forget who they are with. Let me say that again. They're so concerned with what they do not have, they forget who they are with. Let me explain what I mean. If you're a fan of Harry Potter, you'll know that in the first book, Harry, Hermione, and Ron face a crisis. The crisis in the shape of a giant plant that's trying to grab hold of them and strangle them. Now, in this particular instance, they know how to defeat the plant. They need fire. But then Hermione says something quite extraordinary. See, Hermione, she normally knows pretty much everything about everything. But in this instance, she's panicking because she's saying, we need fire, but we've got no wood. Fair enough, we might think. How's she going to make a fire? But they do defeat the giant plant because her friend Ron reminds her that she's a student at Hogwarts School of Magic. She's training to be a wizard, and in her hand she has a magic wand. So she can just make fire. She doesn't need the wood. She is a wizard. Hermione had forgotten who she was and what she could do. She needed reminding. It seems to me we have something not dissimilar going on here with Jesus and the disciples. It's not their own identity or ability the disciples have forgotten. It is that of Jesus. Hermione forgot who she was, a wizard. The disciples have forgotten who Jesus is. But thankfully, Jesus helps them out. Do notice, when Jesus speaks of their little faith, he does so in regards to what they understand and what they remember. This is why Jesus goes on to remind them of those feeding miracles. They are signs, remember, as to who he is. Just as God in the Old Testament miraculously fed people in wilderness, so Jesus has miraculously fed thousands and thousands of Jews and Gentiles. Now he can do that because he's God. Now I don't think the disciples have necessarily forgotten all of that in the sense of forgotten it ever happened. I mean, how could you? What amazing scenes to have witnessed. But they do seem to have sort of forgotten what that evidence revealed about Jesus, and then apply that to their current situation, which is why Jesus jogs their memory. Remember the 5 loaves? Remember the 7 loaves? If they had remembered who Jesus is, well, they wouldn't be worrying about having no bread, would they? The one thing they could be certain of never worrying about if you're with Jesus is whether you've got bread or not. And yet they are. And I think that's because they've forgotten that Jesus, the abundant, miracle-working bread giver, is right there with them. In other words, they worry about what they have or don't have. That worry stems from their forgetting who is with them. And so Jesus gently and patiently reminds them. And it strikes me that we can do similar things sometimes. We can get so caught up in the busyness of the here and now, our needs, our wants, our haves, our have-nots, that we forget to apply who we know Jesus to be to that situation. We forget to apply what he's said and what he's done to the situations we face each day, the worries we have, the difficulties we encounter. If I can put it like this, it's as though we keep Jesus sort of locked up in our Bibles and don't let him out into the rest of the week. We just look at him on a Sunday. And the result is, therefore, that we demonstrate little faith sometimes, like the disciples do here. That is, we forget to depend on him because we've forgotten who he is and what he's done. And because we've forgotten who he is and what he's done, we don't trust him for our current situation. Why do we seek to be self-sufficient? Well, it's because we've forgotten that Jesus is our provider. Why do we worry that we might not be fully forgiven by God? Well, it's because we've forgotten that Jesus is our perfect saviour. Why do we live by what we think is right and wrong? It's because we've forgotten that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. Why do we live only for the things of this world? Well, because we forget that Jesus is risen and one day he will return to make all things new. Why do we so often feel a sense of dissatisfaction? Well, because we've forgotten to depend on the one who promises life in all its fullness. See, like the disciples, it may not be the issue of bread, but in many different ways we can fail to remember who Jesus is and so fail to apply what we know about him to the situations we find ourselves in. We need our memories jogging. And just as Jesus helped the disciples remember in this passage, so we are helped to remember every time we read about Jesus in God's word. That's what's happening, isn't it? When we read about him, when we sing about him, when we think about him, our memory is being jogged. We're being reminded who Jesus is. And when we're reminded who he is, well, then that can help shape how we live in our current situation. I think as I close, it's good to be reminded here also of Jesus' patience with his followers. He helps them, doesn't he, and apply the truth they actually know about him but have forgotten to the situation they are in. He helps them understand. He doesn't walk out on his disciples. That's what he did back in verse 4, if you remember. He left the Pharisees and Sadducees. But here he continually teaches and corrects and helps understand and helps remember those who are his followers. Sometimes we can read about the disciples, can't we? And we can get a bit frustrated. They can be so clueless at times, especially when we think of all that Jesus is saying and doing right in front of them. We might look at this and think, well, I never would have forgotten about the bread. I never would have forgotten about the 5 loaves and the 7 loaves. And yet this past week, I did forget that Jesus died and is risen because I didn't live in light of the fact that Jesus died and has risen. That's why Jesus' patience in these verses is so beautiful. Because as I look at the disciples and see myself, I'm reminded again of how the Lord Jesus in his grace teaches me patiently the same truths again and again and again and again. Helps me see that living for him is not just what I do on a Sunday morning, but is for each and every day of the week. And helps me see who he is, how it's not only relevant for all of life, but how I am to live my life. These are great verses, I think, because they're a great reminder of Jesus' compassion and care because he warns us against error. They're a great reminder of Jesus' patience with his people because we can so often forget. And they're a great reminder to apply what we know about who Jesus is to how we live our lives. Let's have a moment's quiet and then we'll pray and then we'll listen to our next song together. Let's pray. Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? Father God, we want to thank you for this time when Jesus patiently teaches his disciples. Father, as we look at them and see their forgetfulness, we're reminded of our own. And we ask that in the week ahead, with the help of your Holy Spirit, you would be jogging our memory, that you would be reminding us of how beautiful and wonderful and awesome Jesus is, that you'd be reminding us of all that he did and all that he has said, and that you would help us listen to him. Pray that we would be wise in the week ahead, that we would listen to the teaching of Jesus, and that we would do it. We ask for our own sake, but for your glory. Amen.